Monday to you. The start of the week is here, and it's Mad Monday. Y'all know what that means. That's what it means. Open conversation. Whatever you want to talk about. No topic is off limits. We can go deep into the hole, or we can stay above the hole and go into the stratosphere. Your choice. We can handle it all today, because this is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and I'm feeling good. Ooh, ready for some fun today, y'all. Y'all ready for some fun today? I know, man. Ooh, it has been a wonderful weekend, I must say. I have really enjoyed it, and congratulations to all the graduates. Hey, you're beginning that next phase of your life. I hope you got a plan. Hope you got a plan in place. If not, you know, hopefully you can develop one, all right? But once again, congratulations to all those graduates out there. Oh, boy, I tell you. You know what? I'm not going to feel. I can't even remember what it felt like to graduate. I really don't. I've been that dang on long. But I can tell you what it felt like to retire. I'm sure there is a feeling somewhere in that neighborhood. That's what I'm going to say. Oh, man, I tell you. But I remember the parties, though, and I'm sure a lot of them partied hard this weekend because they see what they got, the work that's got to be done. The work is not over with yet. It's not over with yet. You got it going. You got to get it going. You know what I mean? Don't slow down now. Because if you take that break in between, sometimes you get caught up in a rut, and that rut just continues and continues. The next thing you know, you're 40 years old. You still ain't accomplished nothing you wanted to do. You're in a dead-end job, and you're pissed at the world. Yeah, I'm going to say it. I'm going to tell you how it is. So don't. If you got that momentum going, keep it going. Because once you stop it, oh, my goodness, it's not a good thing. Just words of wisdom from Mr. Talk, okay? Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm telling you. Now, don't take it as something I heard, okay? Don't take it as something I heard. I'm telling you from experience, okay? Then you got to kick yourself in the butt and get up and make things happen. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do, and you can make it go. You can make it go. All right. Well, anyway. That's enough of me rambling. How y'all doing out there today, man? I tell you, I hope everybody had a great weekend. Let's see, we got H2O in the chat room. We got Divine Design. We got guest 2439. Wow, that's a heck of a number. Welcome to the show. All those in the chat room, I'm sure more are coming. Dealing on those switchboards, man, we got, ooh, boy, we got a couple of people. We got 1111, 1111, 1111, 1111, and 2275, 2275 in the house. Hey, sugar. Well, all right. So there it is, there it is, there it is. Woo! All right. Do y'all know we're going in the third week of June already? Oh, is it the third week or the second week? Kind of, sort of. I think it's the third week of June. But, man, you know, it's just amazing. It's just amazing how fast the days just roll by. You know, some consider that a good thing. For others, it's not so good. But either way, you're still breathing and you're living. So be happy about that. That's right. Be happy. Be happy. All right, man, I tell you. Well, you know, you know, over the weekend, yeah, it's the second week. Okay. It's, I guess it is the second week. I forgot. I was looking at, I forgot that, you know, I was going by the Sundays, but okay. I got you. Whatever week it is, we still got it going on, okay? We still got it going on. We still alive. We're still alive. All right. You know, I have a chance to listen to some other shows on BTR. Wow, man. You know, there's some very, very intellectual individuals on BTR. And some very decent shows also. You know, but there are some shows out there that really tickle me because it's like they're all about themselves. They won't just hear themselves talk. You know, and I do go through and listen to some of them because I always want to pick up more tips and things like that. And you know, but when you just sit there and listen and the host is going on and continuing to talk and really not saying anything, and I'm happy with the way I do my show. I'm happy with the format that I have because I truly believe that the listeners can actually, and the callers can actually have input into the discussion. And I love that because there's always different views or different opinions. We may not agree with each other, but you can always take something away from each person's point of view or observation. You know, so I advise the other host, if you're guilty of that, you know, you may want to rethink it and make some things happen. On your end, and let your callers be a little bit more active in your activities on your show. All right, okay, I got you. All right, so that was it. And you know, we got a song of the day for you because I know it's Monday. Some of y'all having them hard, rough Mondays. But I got a song that's guaranteed to pep you up a little bit. I'm going to take y'all back to 1988. That's right. When I was in Freiburg, Germany. Get ready to come back to the world, as we used to call it back in the day, which was the United States. I know. But anyway. So we're going to take you back to 1988 and let you get your groove on there. And then we also got a couple of topics. I don't know whether I'm going to talk about them tonight. Depends on what y'all have to say. But either way, we're going to talk about something because that's what we do on Let's Talk. We get it out there. Yes, we do. All right. So, you know what? Time for me to stop talking. It's time for us to start partying a little bit. I think that's what we're going to do. All right, y'all. Taking you back a little bit to 1988 with Rob Basin and DJ Easy rocking It Takes Two. See you on the other side.
Right about now, you're about to be possessed by the sounds of MC Raw Face and DJ Easy Rock.
Hit it!
Y'all, that was 1988. Whoa. Man, I tell you, woo, woo, woo. Boy, I hope y'all like that one. That should have got you up and moving. If you was having a bad day, that should have got you up and rocking and rolling. Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock in the house. All right. Got me pumping a little bit. You know, I'm about ready to play that one again, man. That was all right. Okay. All right. You know what? I do it like this because I got to hear that one more time, y'all. I don't know about y'all. Right about now.
You're about to be possessed.
One more time. That got me hyped.
Here we go.
All right, y'all. I just had to hear it one more time, man. I'm telling you. Oh, boy, I was getting my party on up in here, up in here. You're going to learn today. Gotta go, gotta go. All right, all right, all right, all right, all right. Woo, man, I tell you. You know, that thing on Ava Indiana in the chat room is tripping right about now. You know, we got to bring him on so he can understand, he can explain his comments in our chat room. All right. But anyway, we got Antoinette in the house, my chat room coordinator. She handling the chat room for me. Got Ava Indiana, a.k.a. Joe. We got Cloud Nation Radio, my co-host, a.k.a. Arcane. We got DeepH2O in the house, Divine Design, enjoying life. We got Jay Works visiting us today, and we got 2439, 2493, and 2495. All those individuals in the chat room, and you know what? Welcome. I'm glad y'all here, man. And then on the switchboards, we got Cloud Nation Radio. We got Joe on the chat room. Then we got an anonymous caller. And then we got 2275, my sugar, sugar, sugar. All right. So there we are. There we are. We here. We here. We here. We here. Welcome. All right. All right, I'm jaw-jacked enough, man, I tell you. I'm hyped now, boy, I tell you, I am hyped. So hold on, let me bring my co-host in, Mr. Akeem, a.k.a. Cloud Nation Radio. What's up, man? What's going on with you? How was your weekend?
Refreshing. I mean, you know, it was smoother than the ocean breeze. It was refreshing, I have to say.
All right.
And I'm reading another book. Would you like to know the name of this one?
Yeah, what's the name of this one?
It's an interesting one. It's called Family Wealth, Keeping It in the Family is the subtitle. And it's by an author by the name of James E. Hughes Jr., who happens to be and has been for years one of the most sought-after financial planners for many of the wealthy, a lot of wealthy families. And basically what he does in this book is helps people put into context how he helps wealthy families keep generational wealth in their family, how they maintain it. And it's very fascinating, I must say. Very good read so far.
Oh, okay. You know what? That's all good. That's a good book. You know what? And I think, you know, that since the kids are out summertime, you know, and if they really say they don't have anything to do, I think that the parents should pick one book out for them a week and have them read that book, and, you know, and you know, do a little paper on it to keep their minds, you know, rolling. That way they won't forget a lot of stuff they learned in school. And I think that's a good idea. And books like that, man, I tell you, of course, you know, you can't get a fourth, fifth grader, but you can sit down and read it with them and explain it to them, I think. So that's a great book, man, I tell you. You know, and we really do need to get into this thing about economics and you know, how to keep it in the family and, you know, how to make it work for the family, not just keep it in, but how should we make it work? You know, so that it just won't go just to one generation and that's it. You know, we want to be able to accomplish and pass it down to each generation, you know, over and over again. That way funds stay within the family and, you know, we can build something.
Yeah. And this, and I like, that's what made this book so you know, it caught my attention immediately once I saw that. This is a guy who helps people who have already accumulated wealth keep it and help their families to continue to keep it. So I thought it was quite interesting. It was something, you know, I as they say, stumbled upon, you know.
right. Hey, you know, it's always good, man, you know. And sometimes that's what we have to do. You know, we have to pass information like that on. You just can't just, you know, a lot of people just read a book and just keep it to themselves. And, you know, sometimes we need to pass that kind of information on. And, you know, so everybody is aware of it. Because you never know who will read it and take up that charge, say, okay, let me pass this on. And then we pass it on and on. More of us become aware of the situation. And then we can pass it on and we start. Once everybody had enough individuals have read it, eventually it's going to come together to where somebody say, okay, we've read it. We got the examples, or, you know, we have an idea how this works. Well, let's implement it. You understand? I know everybody say, well, Claude Anderson said the same thing, but, you know, not everybody agrees with Claude Anderson. Okay. I'm just going to put it out there. You know, he has some good points in his book, Powernomics. You know, I have the book, and, you know, but some of it is kind of like, okay. But in the same token, a lot of individuals are not going to adhere or absorb what he's trying to say. So, you know, if more of us get up and pass on, showing that he's not the only one that's saying, look, this is what we need to do to get back to where we need to be. I think it'll be a lot more.
You know. I was going to say, speaking of Claude Anderson, Dr. Claude Anderson, the Powernomics and some of his other teachings are actually on YouTube, so you can actually watch some of the hours of the information that he's putting in some of those books to dissect it and to take what you prefer out of it, your preference, and you know, leave and set aside what you don't agree with. But I definitely think it's definitely something worth reviewing. I enjoyed some of it, and there were a few other guys who and women who did different interviews who were fascinating. And speaking of fascinating people, you put a post on Facebook that by one of the most fascinating women in the country is Miss Michelle, who wrote the new Jim Crow book.
Right.
Tell me more about that.
Well, I haven't gotten into the book too much yet, but she has some very interesting views on the type of obstacles and laws and things like that are still in place, you know, and it's still in place today that are there to, you know, hinder, you know, the advancement of black people. Or people of color, should I say, people of color? Anyway, but you know, as in the voter laws that they have tried to pass, you know, since the last election, you know, requiring ID for everybody, you know, ID, you know, for the kids that's, you know, in the lower echelon of society, you know, and and, you know, and how, you know, it looks to be one thing when it really is something totally different is the new form of Jim Crow, the new Jim Crow laws. You know, they just switched it up a little bit, and they're no longer trying to hide it anyway. You know, they're just bringing it to the forefront, and a lot of us not enough attention to it. And, she brings a lot of that out. So she's a very interesting author, and I do encourage everyone to, you know, look her up. Oh, okay, I'm through. Man, I tell you, I am so hyped right now, man. I'm telling you, that song got me just hyped up. I was already hyped before I came on the air, but that song just did it to me, you know. Now, you know what? I forgot to give out some information. All right, y'all, here it is. You want to be a part of the show today? Give me a call, 347-838-8622. If you want to join us in the chat room, no problem. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. Now, let me explain the chat room to you. If you just log in straight with that, you're going to log in as a guest. As a guest, you have no privileges in the chat room. You can only see what's being written in the chat room. However, if you want to be a participant in the chat room, only thing is needed is you just sign in with whatever social media site you're using, and your name will pop up in the chat room, and you have all privileges. You can comment, laugh, cry, whatever you want to do. You can do that. All right? Let's see. You can email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. And we do take all callers. We have no problems accepting your call because we do like to hear everybody's opinion. We turn no opinion away unless you're just talking crazy. Then I got a shotgun and a couple other things I can deal with you with. So if that's what you want to do. But we do encourage you to call in. We do, because we love to hear from you. Only thing we ask that you act like an adult when you call in. Okay, we don't have any profanity. You know, some maybe you slipping through, but, you know, for the most part, no profanity. No derogatory terms like the N-word, the B-word, the H-word. We've gone so far now, we ain't even using ratchet. Okay, that's the R-word and a lot of other stuff. You know, if you think it's wrong, don't say it, okay? just don't say it, and then you won't find yourself on the sidelines just listening. All right, so that's all the ways you can participate in the show today. Like I said, no topic is off limits. It's Mad Monday, so y'all have the floor for sure. But let me bring this young man in right here. Of course, he's not really that young, but I just made him feel good. And let's see what he's got on his mind since he put this old crazy stuff in the chat room. So let me bring Mr. Joe in. Mr. Joe, what's going on, man?
Hey, Eric, what's up? I'm glad that you were talking about this well-informed woman named Michelle talking about the new Jim Crow laws.
Because, hey, Joe.
Hey, Cloud. White people have to wake up and realize what they're doing to black people today. So it's good that you have something like that. So I like to go and read the article myself.
Well, no. We need you to expound on what you're talking about, Joe.
Well, you brought in this article about from an author named Michelle talking about the new Jim Crow laws, right?
Right.
Well, she's letting people know that the old Jim Crow has now been transformed into the new Jim Crow, where black people are being oppressed, and maybe some black people know and some black people don't. But white people have to wake up and realize that they got to stop doing this crap, and black people have to wake up, you know, to what's going on. It's oppression.
It's oppression. Mm. Now,
Well, isn't it?
Let's look at it this way, though. So, it's oppression, but who's really doing the oppression? Are these new laws? Well, is that really true, or are some of the black people oppressing themselves because of the way their mind, the way they're thinking?
Well, because black preachers have been bought out. Yeah, well, they're traitors. But, you know, look, what's happened to black people is atrocious, and it's carried down through evolution. So, you know.
Mm. But Joe, okay, here's what I'm saying. If you look at that, and then you look at the nation that's basically turning into more of a mixed race than just one particular, you know, black or black and white type of thing. So is that really oppression, or are we just hanging on to something just to be able to blame somebody when things don't go right?
Yeah, I'm sure there's a certain percentage of blacks who feel that way. But for the most part, from what I've been listening to the past few years over BTR, and I'm finally convinced over the weekend, is that black people cannot get anywhere based just on their own merit, because no matter what they do, okay, whitey's going to come along and do something to stop the progress. Doesn't matter. So, I mean, look, you know, I don't know how many hundreds have told me this over the years, but I mean, look, hey, look, it's taken me a while to get the message, but okay. So my melanin brothers, you win.
Okay. So you, all right, Joe, you know, I'm, you kind of got me kind of confused here for a moment. I mean, you said you listened to some shows over the weekend, and what really brought you to that? What type of shows did you listen to this weekend that just made you realize that that is the case no matter what?
Well, it had to be the last straw that broke the camel's back, I guess. The cumulative effect of hearing this from dozens and dozens and now hundreds of black people on BTR alone, okay, telling me that I don't know what it's like to be walking in their shoes and how they cannot make it because whitey will do something. And no matter how I say, look, oppression has existed, does exist. Slavery was atrocious. Jim Crow was atrocious. But there are blacks that have succeeded, and you can succeed. And, you know, you should stop concentrating on pointing the finger at white people and just pick yourself up like other blacks have done. And they say, no, we can't do it. As a matter of fact, not on this particular show, but on another show, I remember one black person, and I've heard this twice, one black person saying that because of 400 years of slavery through evolution, that the oppression has gotten into the DNA to the point where black people, because of what happened to slavery, are afraid to read a book. So I'm not a biologist, so I don't know if that's true or not. There might be some modicum of truth to it. Who knows? But I've been hearing it and hearing it. So, I mean, look, just me and my logic against dozens and now 100, 200. Look, if you're right, you're right. Okay?
Well, Joe, you know, I'm just going to say it like this. That is not a true statement right there. You know, I don't see how oppression can get in your DNA. Oh, H2O said that's using DNA as an analogy. But No.
Literally. Not figuratively. Literally, because of the whippings and the atrocious conditions and the environment and the fear it has gotten. Because remember now, 400 years of slavery. Now, I'll get into that in a second. 400 years of slavery. Who knows? Maybe that does have some sort of evolution effect, some sort of Darwin type of effect. Who knows? Maybe there is some slight truth where people are afraid, black people are afraid to pick up a book because of the DNA. I mean, Chris Rock, if you listen to him, what does he say? He says, if you want to make sure that if your money is safe from black people invading your house, put your money in a book because they'll never look there. So, who am I to say? The only question I have is the 400-year statement, because that's kind of mathematically wrong, but never let arithmetic and logic get in the way.
Well, Joe, I'm here to tell you, whoever you heard say that over the weekend was full of their own feces. You know what I mean? Because that is just crazy. And I'm here to tell you that's not the case. And, you know, because I ain't going to lie to you. I ain't got whipped by nobody. So I can't even imagine any of that. And I know personally, you know, I know where I have driven myself to where I will be successful no matter what. Now, maybe it's a social class type of stigma that's going on. But for the most part, all the one people I hang around, we don't even think like that, Joe. So I think that's a bunch of crap. And the ones that you hear saying it, you know, they just they haven't.
I didn't want to say this about you. I don't want to say this about you, Eric, because I've known you for a couple of years. You must be bougie, okay? So
huh? I'm delusional.
No. You must be bougie. You must be one of these bougie blacks. Huh?
All right, Cloud Nation.
He has a point, though. Sometimes, you know, if you some people may label you as that, you know, depending on where you are consciously. Sometimes,
Cloud, don't you talk either, because you've probably gone to school and shit, so you're bougie too, all right?
It's funny, though. It's funny that Joe mentioned that. I was thinking about Tom Burrell's Brainwashed, the book, and the former co-founder of Burrell's Communications, the marketing company, back in the 70s. And he touched on a lot of things dealing with the psychological and the psychosocial aspect of the African or the black condition, the community. And I think he had a lot of insight, and he did a lot of studies and research on, why the community at large sometimes responds in a variety of different ways. And there's a variety of different other authors out there who did some research as well. But I think he's one of a few who had some good insight. At least from my own personal.
Well, this is how whites oppress blacks, through propaganda and the media and everything. Otherwise, black people, if they weren't victims of this, they would be able to do just fine as a whole. But since black people aren't doing fine as a whole, it's got to be because of the propaganda and whitey stepping in and the Jim Crow laws, that exist today that people don't know about. And other types of reasons, because otherwise the people telling me about what's happening today, and they can't succeed, and either they're right or I'm wrong, or I'm right and they're wrong. I don't know. It doesn't matter anymore. It's just kumbaya.
I had a question for you guys. How much of it do you guys think might have something to do with consciousness? I know a lot of times, oftentimes we have discussions about, you know, a variety of different issues and a lot of hearsay of what could be the big factors. But my question is, how much of it has to do with, you know, is psychological, is consciousness?
Like I just said, to white people, because of propaganda and because of the use of media and information disseminated the way that they wanted to, they're keeping blacks down by letting blacks think they can't get anywhere. Okay?
Okay. All right. Well, I'm saying point blank, people of color are holding themselves down more than anything. Yeah, there's some obstacles out there, but they're not impenetrable. You know what I mean? They can be overcome, but you know, some individuals just not willing to put the work in to do that. Who fault is that? You can't really blame it on white people. You can't blame it on society. You have to blame it on them individuals, because they're not willing to do the work. I say that quite often on the show. You know, sometimes you have to be willing to get out there and do the work to make yourself
But why should you? Why should you have to go the extra mile as a black person when white people, even though they work 12-hour, 14-hour days to succeed, why should blacks have to do that? okay? Your citizens too. I'm leaning more towards Lowe's opinion that blacks cannot get ahead because whitey is always there. Lowe's always said that, and Lowe's lucky. I mean, right now he's found the word, okay? He is one of the lucky ones to know all about the Bible. So who knows? Maybe he's got some kind of insight into other matters as well.
Well, you know, being a religious man myself, and growing up in the church, among other things, you know, you're right. Some individuals do use the Bible as a crutch or a point to where, you know, they claim this is going on, that's going on. That depends on the individual. Once again, it goes back to the individual. You know, like I said before, I ain't never got whipped with no whip, so I can't tell you how that feel. And as far as being held back, I was always taught there's no such thing. You know, you go as far as you want to go. So, that, you know, other than that other stuff, that's a bunch of craziness. And Joe, you don't need to listen to those people, you know, because I think, you know, they're on a different kick. And sometimes it's just that, a kick. You know, they're going with the crowd, and they're really not taking the time to sit down and do a self-evaluation to where they realize that they need to look at the man in the mirror and handle their business instead of sitting there and blaming everybody else for their own failures. All right, so let me get my brain Maze in. Hello, Maze. Welcome to the show.
Hello, I have a question.
Hello, my sister.
What do you mean by being held?
Hello, Maze.
Hello.
By what?
Explain that.
Explain what?
Explain what
means by being held back. Oh, we want to look at the court system where people have to sue in order to go up the ladder to jobs, or
oh,
when they're
true.
Suing for their land.
Absolutely.
Or what you mean by being held back?
Held back, of course. If black people have a right to something and the courts are skewed against them, of course that's part of oppression. If people want to climb up the corporate ladder and they're not, that's oppression. And if people can't get started because of whatever, that's oppression. I agree with you.
Oh, I was just asking you the question, what you mean by being held back. That don't happen in these days and time?
It's happening all over in these days and time. That's the whole thing. That's the point.
Oh, who's doing it?
Well, white people are doing it to black people.
Oh, I wonder why.
Well, because white people don't like black people.
Hold on, wait a minute. Hold up, wait a minute. Let me put some stank in it. Now, you know what, Maze? I know where you're going with this. And
I'm just asking Joe a question so he can explain something I'm not understanding.
Yeah, I understand that. But let me help Joe out, because, see, Joe, I don't know, Joe feeling himself today, so I'm going to help Joe out a little bit.
Thank you.
All right? Now, see, it's like this. You know, for years, you know, everybody say, well, we being held down. Well, you know, and we always found somewhere to blame it on. Well, if it wasn't the white man, it's the Asians. If it's not the Asians, you know, we find somebody. You know, it's the government, period. But here's the question, Maze. When are we going to stand up and take credit for not willing to become more knowledgeable to make ourselves more available for jobs? You know, walking around with your pants hanging off your butt does not make you available for a job. And no, you can't.
Okay.
I'm talking.
Oh, I wasn't even finished.
And you know, I just get tired of hearing it. You know, Joe is bringing this point of view, and I'm tired of hearing that also. Look, it's like this. In this day and age, look, it's more than just, as H.O. just said, more than just, you know, being held back from a job, being held back from this, being held back from that. Look, as me and Cloud Nation was talking earlier, we got to pick up some books, start reading some books, put in place action plans to where we can accomplish something. Sitting on a porch smoking weed all day is not accomplishing anything. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, we have to be careful about what we saying and who's holding us back. And why? When the last time you got hit with a whip, Maze?
I would like to know what percentage of people that's walking around with their pants hanging down and not having a job. Everybody's not doing that. You want to know when you want to know about the time what people went where you went around for $1 a day?
Okay. When the last time you worked in
the
cotton field?
What'd you say?
When was the last time you worked in a cotton field?
Before they closed them down. The last
and
cotton field was like in the South. In 69, when I'll put
that?
It that way. That's
in
when they had cotton fields.
In
69.
We, in 2000, we are in 2014.
And you got people on the street still talking about they want their country back. Same people that causing problems to the country still want their country
back. Those are racist.
So why do you keep hearing those people? Those people out there that's causing problems to the same people that are causing problems at the beginning from the country. See, I don't put it this way. You see, everybody out there don't walk around with their pants hanging down. Everybody don't sit on their porch and smoke weed or drink beer. Some people work hard every day and still can't get nowhere. Some people have businesses that get closed down because they don't have a chamber of commerce that's going to stand up for them. Look at that part of what's wrong with the picture.
Why is that?
Some people get rich because you have a group of people that won't let them do it.
Now, see,
like I told you, some professional football players wanted to put a bowling alley on the town. They told them they couldn't put it there.
Oh,
and they
yes.
had the money to do it. Three of them.
Maze.
Turned them down. The Chamber of Commerce said no. So, and everybody that was sitting on that board, now one of them looked just like them. So don't you tell me they don't hold people back.
See, that's
they
what I'm
don't.
Talking about.
We hold. We
so
hold,
why do you have people doing that? No, we don't hold nobody back.
Because you know why, Maze? Because just because somebody tell us no, we accept that and we go on about our business.
Not necessarily.
That's why. Bull crap, you just said it. Why didn't they put? Why didn't they fight to put the bowling alley in there after they were told no?
If you got a whole Chamber of Commerce that's not going to let them do it, what is it for you to do? Go to jail trying to get to put it there?
The chamber, you got more people than the Chamber of Commerce. That's all about money.
That's what I'm saying. But did you see anybody look like you sitting up there making any decision? It's the decision maker that caused the problem. So
okay,
if you're not sitting
so
up on the board making no decision, what do you think you're going to get?
Once again, Maze, that's just another excuse why nobody ran for the Chamber of Commerce then.
People have excuses because they want to blame their community on everything that somebody tells them to do. That's what makes me sick. If you really want to know. Because I don't take it just because somebody blamed me for something, that I'm going to take it just because somebody said it. No.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Well, that's what
oh,
it sounds like
the
here, all
these
But
you're going to put the burden on me and
I've
everything
made,
you have
but,
burnt down and destroyed.
I'm sorry.
And it's that way all the time. As long as I see people walking around here and say they're going to take their country back, there hasn't been no change. Because all those people, they sit some office holder somewhere causing confusion in somebody's community.
Right. I mean, the people who want to go back to the Constitution, a lot of them could be racist.
So why are you not discussing them? You want to have a picture for one page, but not flip it over and look at what might be real, the real cause.
I'm saying the real cause is racism, Renee. I mean,
that's why you
I'm
got the court system. And the court system isn't necessarily work. That's why people stay in court 10 to 20 years, and then they broke when they try to get what they want.
I don't understand, Renee. You're agreeing with me, and I'm agreeing with you, and you're still...
Perfect example is the black farmers.
Mm-hmm.
This happened in 20 what?
Look, let me
the black farmers got reparations.
And they still don't have that money
the black
yet.
The black farmers overcame and got reparations.
No, they don't have that money yet.
Hold on, wait
they
a minute.
Still
wait
for
a minute.
It.
See, and that's the issue. You trying to wait for a dang on reparation that you're never going to get.
I'm not talking about reparations. I'm talking about the black farmers that talk to you on two different subjects. I ain't looking for no reparations.
You said they were waiting on it, so they ain't not getting any.
I said the black farmers were still waiting for their money because they were not treated right because of the seeding and the way that they did things. And this was in 2000 what? You talking about, I'm not talking about the system, I'm talking about now. You got the same group of people like there, their children are doing it now, they did it then.
You know what? Let's do it this way. Let's go back to segregation then. Let's go and move all ourselves back in our own communities and let them go to their communities. That way we can build and have our own. That'll solve the problem, won't it?
Will it?
You
no,
tell
probably
me.
Not. Yeah.
The problem was solved when we was in our own community. The problem wasn't solved when we was in our own community. So we had problems there when we was in it.
Well, that was way back when. No, that's not necessarily correct.
It's still here and it's still alive. And I don't need nobody to tell me that it's not a still
alive.
Are you still got no grandchildren and still out there doing the same thing?
I'm telling you, it's not.
People report every day.
Hold on. Let me bring P. Yankee and Miss Antoinette in. Hello, P. Yankee. Hello, Miss Antoinette. How are you today?
Hello. I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
Yeah,
Hello,
I agree
Antoinette.
With you, Eric.
Hi, Maze. How are you?
All right.
Hello, Antoinette.
Good. Hello, Rob Nation.
I agree with you, Eric. Hello.
Oh, Me and Bianca playing with each other? Oh, Lord.
I have a question. And I want to thank Maze for bringing it up because I'm so tired of hearing that they want to take their country back. Well, take it back to where? To what point in history do we want to take it back to? Do we want to take it back to where Columbus came over and stole it? Where he infected the Indians with smallpox? And, you know, is that where we want to go back to?
Hell, I missed the days of Ronald Reagan.
Do you want to go back to slavery? Or do you want to go back to the Jim Crow era? You know, what part of history is satisfactory for you, Jeff?
I don't want to go back to Jim Crow. Nope.
Well, do you want to go back to the days where the Indians were running free and Columbus came over?
Nah, I don't want to go back there either.
Of course not. So where do you want to go?
Well, ask the racist.
Well, I'm asking you. I mean, you have, you know,
no
these
longer
strong points. I'm just asking you.
I never was.
What
racist,
is your position on this?
Well, my position.
But
is
Antoinette, I miss the days of Ronald Reagan.
Well,
you probably do. I'm
a Ronald Reagan independent.
You're right. You were independent, and you missed him running away and messed up everything.
But, Pianchi, I don't mean to be rude, dear, and I want to make this as short as possible so I can hang up. I just would like to know where Joe would like to go back in history at. I mean, please forgive me. I'm not trying to be rude to you.
So where would I like to go back?
Yeah.
Anytime where black people feel comfortable. So where's that? What time is that?
I don't know. I hear y'all. I mean, I know for me, but I hear y'all hollering that you want your country back. So back to where?
Well, that ain't
you know, in the beginning, I know that. I know that, Pianchi. But in the beginning,
I don't blame,
it wasn't
but
yours.
That, you can't blame.
I'm just asking.
You can't blame
opinion.
Them, can you?
I can't blame them.
No.
Of course you can. Look.
That's how you feel, Pianchi.
Wait a minute. Of course I can.
We'll tell you frankly how racism has affected black people as a whole.
I beg your pardon?
I said, well, you won't? You haven't been affected by racism?
No, I haven't. No, really? I haven't. Personally?
You haven't.
If I have, it's been on a small, minor scale.
Okay.
But no, not in the,
no.
You know
all
what?
Right. Well, then you have to excuse me. I just figured since you were kind of talking about you know, where we're going to take the country back, I thought maybe you would talk about not only your own personal premises, but
this is a statement I always hear being said, so this is, you know, an answer. I mean, you called in and you were making a point about things that you heard over the weekend, so I'm asking a question that I've always been curious to know. You know, where exactly do white folks want to take it back to?
Well, that wasn't part of the discussion, but white people want to take it back to wherever there was prosperity. Reagan was about a period of prosperity.
Okay, so when was it prosperity? And, you know,
during the
day and
times of the
New
Deal.
Okay, thank you, Pianchi. But since you want to bring it to race, then, you know, so at what time was it prosperity for both races on an equal matter and not just some
blacks?
Well,
I've always said that.
Not just some blacks and...
Okay, I want to give you the answer. I've always said that during the 30s, 40s, and 50s, blacks were very well off through segregation, especially in the North, because blacks had their own communities. They had a very low rate of birth out of wedlock. They were more prosperous. There was less crime. But I'm a racist for pointing
that out. I didn't call you a
racist.
You
act like we can read all
I'm
the crime. We're
not
only, we're
not.
I asked you, I'm
like
merely asking you a question, and you're turning it into like I'm giving you a personal attack.
Yeah.
I'm not attacking you. I'm asking you
I
a question.
Okay.
Well, you know, I can't speak for the 30s, 40s, 50s, or 60s, but I know I can speak for the 70s, and I ain't got no problem going back to the 70s, man, because you had...
I don't either.
I don't have no problem going back to the 60s, either.
You know, you
I don't either, Maze.
You had nuclear families. You had communities. You had neighborhoods. I mean, you had your own, and you worked within your neighborhood. Now, you know, it's kind of crazy because, you know, a lot of people don't remember those or you know, they don't want to remember. But I go back to saying when we went to schools in our neighborhoods, when we educated our own, when the teachers lived in the same neighborhood, we were fine. You know, what happened was we began to let individuals get in our head once we started progressing. And then from there, we just let it go, let it go, let it go. So now we're to a point to where we want to blame everybody else. But what we really need to do is take a look in that mirror and realize that we're not, our hands are not as clean as we want to make them be. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, well, like,
you know,
well, so you really don't.
Mr. Talk, I was never raised in a quote so-called black neighborhood. I've, you know, always been in a mixed neighborhood. I went to a white school, you know, mm-hmm. so-called white school, rich white people. You know, I mean, so.
That's what everybody
I don't understand, you know, the black school method and all that. I don't understand all of that, so.
Okay.
Well,
I can explain it to you. I grew up where everything was, they had their own black hospital. They had, you could go to the doctor, you had your own black store. And I don't know who took the, why did the community just like, somebody just came up in and took it out and put something over in the community that destroyed because it was doing good, just like they
well, you know,
it.
Maze,
you know
it was
Maze?
Black folks.
You know, hold on
it was black organizations that was against that type of situation.
And everybody still got, some people still got that same community.
You know, I just think Maze grew up with Moses, and she just ain't
so
realized.
I didn't grow up with Moses. But, I grew up with a happy life, yeah. And you don't hear me saying yeah. I wanted to go, and I wonder what came and destroyed that life. Since Joe said
well,
that they were closed and they were not criminals.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
Like,
hold
we don't
on,
think they're
criminals. Let me bring Beasley.
Doesn't matter.
Let me bring Beasley in. Yeah, okay. Welcome to the show, Beasley. You up?
Hey, Beasley.
Welcome. You know, I'm when Joe, you know, speaks of his exposure to black people and he limits it to Blog Talk Radio,
that
I have to laugh. I just have to laugh.
Because we got more
no,
stories
Joe,
than
Joe,
than
get
than
out,
I
get
up.
Out,
oh.
Get out and interact with some black people in real life.
Thank you.
Before you start, there's a lot of people that say things on Blog Talk Radio. That
there's a lot of people say it
aren't that based in reality, but you're making your assessments of black people and the black condition based on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm just saying that that's really not the best source.
Well, you may be right, but I've heard it from other blacks outside of BTR. I'm just saying that
yeah.
the cumulative
You've
effect,
heard what? You've heard excuses?
I've heard people say that whitey will always come in and never give blacks in general a break. And the people I talked to specifically said they won't be able to make it because of whitey. And I've been hearing this for years. So it isn't just over the weekend. It's the weekend straw that broke the camel's back.
But
well,
you
if you think I navigate through, I don't make excuses because I'm more interested in getting what I want than any type of excuse. I have no uses for excuses, so I don't let that bother me. But
well, it's also
be,
obvious, Beaver, you're
booty.
Okay,
I'm not bougie. I don't even know what bougie means.
That's just a conservative word, bougie.
You don't really know my journey. You don't know my journey to be labeling me as anything.
I'm just saying this is what black people would say.
But Joe.
Joe, will you stop with that? There's 40 million black people,
thing.
And if you haven't learned anything, we all don't think the same thing and feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
About almost anything. You can get 15 black people on this line, and you probably will get 15 different opinions.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're saying black people feel like this and think like this, the world just doesn't work that way. But as far as it being more difficult, or some people will, some white people, or will create obstacles for you. That's true, but you just
That's
have to navigate. You just have to navigate through them. Not all, but some.
And that's what I used to say. But then people would say, well, look, you haven't walked in my shoes. You don't know.
But you haven't. And but you haven't.
Exactly.
No, but you haven't. And I'm amazed when white people speak as though they have.
Well, then I have
no
credibility.
Really don't have
enough, that's what I'm admitting.
But you really don't have the understanding when someone makes it more difficult for you. When someone makes it more difficult for you or out and out discriminates against you. It shouldn't stop you, but it happens.
Mm-hmm.
But it happens, and it happens probably more times than you realize. But that's no reason to make a cop out and say, I can't get what I want. I don't buy into that. And I also have a real difficulty with post-traumatic slave syndrome.
Okay, I got a question for you. Remember when you were talking about a friend of yours who said, you said that he had to go out on something like 6 or 7 interviews to get a job?
That's everybody these days.
Okay, but how long did it take him to get to 6 or 7 interviews?
No. Six or seven interviews for one position.
Right. How long did it take him to set up the 6 or 7 interviews? Did it take him a week? Did it take him 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
What, how long was the interview process?
Yeah, how long did it take for him to get the first interview?
I guess that's a 2 or 3 week period.
Okay.
All right.
All right, hold on.
But
this
guy has a question.
No, not yet. Let me bring my co-host in. He has some things. Go ahead, Akeem.
Oh yeah, I just wanted to just reflect on some of the systems stuff and look at a little bit of the history for a second. We all know that the one of the first global powers in history. Is considered the America, you know, and during and after the war, particularly World War II, the U.S. was carefully planning on how to shape the post-war world. This has been documented. So they had American planners from those in the State Department to those on the Council on Foreign Relations. One major channel by which business leaders influence foreign policy, they agreed that the dominance of the United States had to be maintained. If we look at if we go to the National Security Council Memorandum of 1950, in the NSC 68, they developed the views of Secretary of State Dean Acheson, and it was also written by Paul Nitze. I think that's how you pronounce the name. Who's still around? He was one of Reagan's, you know, arms control negotiator, so to speak. So the policies recommended by the NSC to make it short, 68, will require what was considered sacrifice and discipline in the United States. In other words, huge military expenditures and cutbacks on social services. It would also be necessary to overcome the excess of tolerance that allows to much domestic dissent. Now, these policies were, in fact, already being implemented in 1949. You guys know the U.S. espionage in Eastern Europe, which had been turned over to the network run by Richard Gehlen, who had headed the Nazi military intelligence on Eastern front ports. Now, I'm getting ready to end it right here for a second. This network, as we know it, was part of was considered a U.S. Nazi alliance that quickly absorbed many of the worst criminals, extending to operations in Latin America and elsewhere. And these operations included what was called a secret army under U.S. Nazi auspices that sought to provide agents and military supplies to armies that had been established by both Hitler and which were still operating inside the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe through the early 1950s. And I just want to, just dropping these two names, George Kennan and the Gehlen Network, those two very, very significant individuals, even the dovish position in the policy planning study of 23 in 1948 were also key components. Now I want to step back because I said a lot, so I'll sit back for a moment.
All right, but that's some good information you put out there, Cloud. But let me bring my cook. Oh well, sorry. Go ahead, Mace. Did not bring Les Jackson in.
Oh well, see, they have had experiments on the black community.
See,
you have people do books and experiments on the black community of how to destroy it. So, Joe, what do you think about that part of it? And what part do white people play in?
You've been the victims of syphilis as created, and well, it wasn't created, but it was implemented by the government and carried on for years without black people knowing about it. Not only the Jim Crow laws, which everybody knows about, but of course they had it, the experiments, I think, in New York City where they infected people with gas, I think, in the subways, got radiation of victims without people knowing about it. Also forced sterilization of women, not just blacks, but, you know, of women in general. So, yeah, I mean, you've had this kind of stuff happening for decades, actually for a couple of centuries.
Oh, and then do you communicate with regular black people? Like,
now,
we communicate
I know,
with
yeah,
Caucasian
yeah.
people?
Yeah.
I have them in my family, so I have to communicate with them.
Okay.
She said regular black.
With no problem.
Yeah, regular black.
So we understand them more than you understand us.
Yeah,
you
well,
know,
I'm not claiming to understand you. I said that I was apologizing for my insensitivity.
Oh, you said you was apologizing. Oh, okay.
For my insensitivity, not for white people, for me.
Wait a minute, hold up. I got to ask this. Maze, what the heck is a regular black person?
Oh, boy.
I want to communicate with black people. Maybe someone that's not on Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Like you say, you can go sit down and talk to Lo. Do he have a friend or somebody that he can go sit down and have a conversation with as a friend or a piece of a family member or
ain't
somebody like
regular,
that?
Ain't nothing regular
that's
about
real.
Lo.
I mean, something that's real and not something
shit.
That you just hear people talking.
What if black people outside of BTR agreed with the people on BTR?
But
see,
there you go again with the false premise, Joe. Let me repeat it to you one more time and try to get it through your skull.
Okay.
Black people aren't monolithic. We all don't think the same thing. And we all don't hold
how
the
about
same
I
views.
Finish my question?
No. You keep repeating the same thing.
How about
get it through your skull?
Black people are not one to talk instead of learn. Here's the thing.
And that's why you have a problem comprehending.
No, I don't have a problem comprehending.
He's saying that he's
okay. You have a problem.
You don't understand, Joe.
Well,
you
then I'm trying to understand, but you got
to
let me finish my question, Beaver.
You
want to
talk when someone's trying to teach you something?
Oh, well, then teach me after you finish interrupting me. Here's the thing. My question is, if you interrupt me, Joe, you're ignorant about black people.
No,
I don't.
You think you know. Why don't you just find something else to study?
Okay, I'll study black people later. Here's the thing.
Why don't you just leave black people alone? They're
okay,
not bothering
you. Yeah, I'll leave them alone. I'll leave them up to you. Here's the thing. If I talk to other black people outside of BTR, and if they have the same opinion as the black people on BTR, what does that make them?
Some of them don't want to be black.
Right, because all black people have the same opinion, and you're speaking black people in gross generalities.
Well, the black people I've talked to, if the black people I've talked to have the same
kind of opinion. Then I guess it validates your ignorance.
Well, it validates my ignorance, and it's the ignorance of the black people who have been expressing it.
Oh. So
you know something. Because you know,
you don't know something.
You think you know.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
You think you figured something out,
but you haven't. You're lost.
So what have
Joe,
I figured out? What is it that
Joe
is
a very intelligent man.
you may be intelligent, and you say a lot of dumb things too, Bianchi. You talk to trees.
Well, let me say something. You was on a show.
You
was on a show, and you hit me about 15 times. I really don't have nothing to say to you. I say Joey is a very intelligent person.
Oh, whatever.
All right, enough.
Yeah.
Y'all all talking and nobody saying nothing. So let me. Wow. Well, let me bring Les in and let him get started.
I'm after Les.
All right, go ahead, cousin. Welcome to the show, man. Les, are you there? Mr. Jackson. Going once. Mr. Jackson must not be here. All right, Mr. Jackson. Your mic is open whenever you're ready.
Is Les really your cousin?
Yeah,
that's what we mean. Okay, just like that.
Yeah, but see, look, y'all. You know, we're arguing over apples and oranges, and you know, they're gonna be calm courts, and everybody gonna go on about their business. You know, look, it's like this. Say what?
Could I say something?
Well, when I get finished, and when my co-host get finished,
let me know.
All right, I shall. Look, you know, it's one of these things where nobody's ever going to agree on what the problem is. Heck, we can't even, I mean, the solution either, because everyone is looking at things from a different angle, you know, and they have a different point of view. With that being said, you know, like I, you know, there are those out there that will continue to blame what happened in the past for them advancing in the future. Okay, there are those out there that would say that the future is no longer prevalent when it comes to advancement now in the present or the future. And then there's those out there that would go flip-flop back and forth depending on the conversation as to how things are supposed to be or should be. Now, here's the other thing. We need to really just stop talking about it and just be about it. You understand what I'm saying? You know, sometimes we talk too much about certain things to where you talk so much, nothing is being done. It's just conversation and bumping your gums. You know, eventually it comes down to action. Whether it's what the past is causing you to go through some trouble, where now, you know, you feel the same thing is going on, whatever. The bottom line is, whoever it is, you got to get up off your behind and make some things happen. You can't, today's society, you can't sit back and say, well, this is that. That's part of the problem we have now with social issues and problems and, you know, where programs and things of that nature. Come on. You know, we got into this conversation, and basically we've just been going around in circles and circles and circles because why? Nothing's going on. We just talking. You know, basically I say enough of this bull crap, and let's make some things happen. That's it. You know, hey, if you want to change, run for office. You know, run for office. Run for local office. You know, that's where it starts at. Heck, I mean, form a neighborhood committee or something to improve your community. It's not that hard, but we make it so hard because we always want to imprint our beliefs on someone or area of communication or community, and we really don't have anything else to do. That's all I'm saying. All right, I'm through. Go ahead, Cloud Nation.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to continue on talking about the guy, Keenan. And the only reason why I wanted to bring him up because it just seemed to fit in our discussion. And I just wanted to point out that I'm sure everybody remembers in 1950, Keenan, he observed he came up with this policy, and it was 23. They called it 23. It was the illustration of the Davis position. And in this particular document, part of their planning process was they stated that we have about 50% of the world's wealth. That was the idea at the time. And they said at that time only about 6.3% of its population. So I believe in that situation, they decided that they could not fail to be the object of envy and resentment. They wanted to continue to be the superpower. So they decided that their real task in the coming period was to devise a pattern of relationships which would permit them to maintain their position of dominance over disparity. And to do so, they knew that they would have to dispense with all sentimentality and daydreaming, and that their intention would have to be concentrated everywhere on their immediate national agendas. They decided to cease talk about vague and unreal objectives, such as what they consider to be unreal, such as human rights, the raising of living wages standards, and democratization. And they decided that the day is not far off when they would, you know, go to have to deal with create a straight power concept, these concepts, and that the less they were to, would be hampered by this, these idealistic slogans, they decided that that would be the better. So with the PPS 23, which was, of course, a top-secret document at the time, they used it to pacify the public. And they decided that it would be necessary to trumpet the idealistic slogans like as still are being done constantly, but they decided that they would continue to plan and talk to one another and keep that going. I know they installed an ambassador to a few ambassadors in Latin American countries in the 1950s, and I know that Keenan observed that a major concern of U.S. foreign policy was to protect or the protection of, i.e., Latin America, their raw materials. So they decided to, you know, to basically land grab, take over their resources. That was part of this this document. And the U.S. planners also called that idea communism of sorts, I believe. I know that the U.S. intelligence report was spreading through Latin America that the idea that the government has direct responsibility for the welfare of people, that became an idea that people embrace even today. I think it was Deep who talked about governments regulating, designed to be regulators of services and things of that nature. But they created this idea that we are to be dependent upon the government for a variety of different things in that particular document. And I think one of the examples was a high-level study group in 1955 where they stated that the essential threat of the communist powers, or, you know, the real meaning of the term communism in practice, is their refusal to, I believe, fulfill their service role, that is to complement the industrial economies of the West at that time. So Keenan went on to explain the means we would have to use against our enemies who fall prey to this heresy. And I just want to quote this, and I'm going to step back because I know that was long. The final answer might be an unpleasant one, but we should not hesitate before before police repression by the local government. This is not shameful since the communists are essentially traitors. It is better to have a strong regime in power than a liberal government if it is indulgent and relaxed and penetrated by communists.
All right. Once again, there you go. Putting some names and faces to the whole thing. Boy, I tell you, you're a bad boy. You're a bad boy. All right, but hold on. I got a couple of people who want to come in, and we're going to bring Sister Ottawa in. Sister Ottawa, welcome to the show.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Good. The information the brother was just giving is interesting, but it sounds like white supremacy to me. And one thing we have to recognize is that white supremacy is a systematic institution. It impacts every area of activity that you find yourself in. Now, you talk about communists. The brother was talking about communism. Well, that's right here. I'm in Detroit, Michigan, and the state is controlling everything, not taking everything up under its control. And so, you know, we're not far from what you're talking about. We're right there in the midst of it right today. You talked about history and black community. I think we were far more better off when we were segregated. We had doctors, lawyers, professionals in our communities. With this so-called integration, that was just busted up. So we don't have the role models or people who have influence in our midst. Our neighborhoods are destroyed. We don't have public schools, neighborhood schools. You know, when I came up, I knew people in a three-mile radius of my school, where they lived. I went to their homes. They came to my home. So our whole family structure, nuclear and extended family, has been dismantled. So that's what I want to share with you. I can definitely say that in my youth, I had a wonderful childhood. We weren't rich people, but we had what we needed and some of what we wanted. You know, I didn't go outside my community to do very much. I mean, to get shoes repaired, go to a seamstress, a hairdresser. Whatever we needed, we could do within our community. Today, we can't do that. We have to go to someone foreign to get what it is that we need. And even after you go through this educational system, you're still not equipped with the information you need to resolve our own problems. We can't do it. You know, you're not taught to use your mind in a way to make significant changes. So that's what I want to share.
And that's probably due to life in front of you, right?
All right. I don't think so. Thank you.
What did you say? I didn't hear.
I said, and that's probably due to white supremacy, like you're talking about.
Well, white supremacy impacts all people of color around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Not just people here in America. And when we talk about black people's history or people of color, their history, it goes far further back in history than just here in America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you talk about Columbus coming to America. I read something just the other day that his behind was in jail. His name was on the ship, but his ship was navigated by an African man.
Mm-hmm.
So... You know, it's a lot of information that we have all received that has been deceitful. So, I mean, we have even the history here in America where blacks were prosperous in Oklahoma, in Florida, where when this white man saw that these black people were prosperous, what did they do? They went into those towns, they killed the people, burned the cities down. And that's recent history, within the last 75, 80 years.
Yep.
So, and every day we see people who are trying to be entrepreneurs being hit upside the head every day.
There
so,
you go.
Just by policy, not necessarily a white man with a bat standing over him, but the policy that is undergirding everything.
Mm-hmm.
So
speaking
the whole foundation needs to be dismantled.
There you go.
Speaking of policy, though, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Let's see. Hold on. Go ahead, Pianki. You've been waiting patiently.
Well, since you moved on away from it. But there's nothing unusually that's stopping black progress into the business realm. Of course, that's what I usually speak about. And, absolutely, racism did exist back. What you call racism today is nothing like it was back in them days. And it was a hamper. But you had to continue to move on. You can't let it stop you. And white supremacy is basically white folks wanting to control everything. And it's not just perpetrated against black people. People of color is also perpetrated against whites also. Ask the Russians. They'll tell you that. And the only way that you can defeat it. Eric, what was that? What is that noise?
I said when Dennis Rodman went over to visit a man, who had a fit? They want him to go over there and do business. They wanted to take his passport
Eric,
away
should
from
I
him.
Duck or you get ready to shoot or what?
You just keep... I thought you were finished.
Oh.
Wanted to just fight a man just because he left the country to go do business with somebody else.
Okay. All right, Maze.
Not too long ago.
Mace, can he finish?
But anyway, as I was saying, you have to compete against it. Can't compete against it. I mean, it's vulnerable. It falls every time, every day. It's not something that's a king in a hill or that impervious granite mountain that can't be penetrated. And another thing, too, Eric, some of the things along this particular line does not apply to the everyday common black person that walks around the street. They have not the slightest cue. It's only select people that have the ability and the ability to organize and to think. And it's not as if it's not happening. It is happening. It's not happening in as great as a quantity as you would like to see, but it's going on all the time.
Did I interrupt?
That's all I had to say right now.
I was just going to say one of the documents, I think I put it in the room already, was the Monroe Doctrine is a good one, a part of the systematic plan. And another one is something called the Grand Idea, and it was discussed during World War II also, during those study groups that we were talking about of the State Department and the Council of Foreign Relations, I believe, they developed during that post-war period in terms of what they call, like I said, the Grand Idea, which was to be subordinated to the needs of the American economy. Now, the grand area was to include the Western Hemisphere, Western Europe, the Far East, the former British Empire, which was being dismantled at the time, and the incomparable energy resources of the Middle East, which were then passing into American hands as we pushed out our rivals, France and Britain. The rest of the third world, as they call it, or the underdeveloped countries, if possible, the entire globe was part of that plan. Now these plans were implemented as opportunities allowed. Every part of the New World Order was assigned a specific function. The industrial countries were to be guided by the great workshops, as they call it, Germany and Japan, who had demonstrated their pros during the war, and now would be working under U.S. supervision. The third world was to fulfill its major function as a source of raw materials in a market. So for the industrial capitalist society, as a 1949 State Department memo put it, it was to be exploited, in Keenan's words, for the reconstruction of Europe and Japan. So the references are to the Southeast Asia and Africa, but the points are general. So Keenan even suggested that Europe might get a psychological lift from the project of exploiting Africa. So naturally, no one suggested that Africa should exploit Europe for its reconstruction, but they did think that perhaps also improving its state of mind. These declassified documents, however, they're read by many of the scholars that they call, you know, the scholars they call them today, who apparently find nothing odd or jarring in all this. And we know that the Vietnam War emerged from the need to ensure this service role. Vietnamese nationalists, they didn't want to accept it, so they had to be smashed, according to the planners. So the threat wasn't that they were going to conquer anyone, but that they might set a dangerous example of national independence that would inspire other nations in the region. So the U.S. government had two major roles to play. The first role was to secure the far-flung domains of the grand area, as they call it. Now, that requires a very intimidating posture to ensure that no one interferes with his task, which is one reason why there's been such a drive for nuclear weapons. So the government's second role was to organize a public subsidy for high technology industry. And for various reasons, the method adopted has been military spending in large part. I'm going to end it right here. Free trade is fine for economics departments and newspaper editorials, but what happened, nobody in the corporate world or the government takes those doctrines seriously. In fact, the parts of the U.S. economy that are able to compete internationally are primarily, if you notice, the state-subsidized ones. Those are capital-intensive agriculture, you know, agribusiness, as it's called. That's also the high-tech industry, pharmaceuticals, and biotechnology, et cetera. So the same is true of other industrial societies, and the U.S. government has the public pay for research and development and provides largely through the military a state-guaranteed market for waste production.
Well, you know, there really ain't no such thing as free trade. Ha-Jung Chang talked about that very well. You get an opportunity to hit me in the chat room, I'll pass some information on to that because it seems like you're hungry for that knowledge.
All right. That's what I'm talking about. Information. Can't beat that. And more knowledge, the smarter you are sometimes. All right, let me bring my cousin in, Les Jackson, and let's see what he has to add to the conversation. Welcome to the show, cuz. What's going on?
What's going on, cuz? I just want to say a good show, man. I love what I'm hearing, a lot of information being given, but here it is. This is the Les Jackson philosophy for the ninth Monday of 2014. Young folks are not looking back at the past. They are trying to move forward. We are not trying to move our children forward. We are trying to hold them back in a stagnated age when even the people that were in that age didn't want to be there. And so there are more, and people don't realize it, there are more black millionaires being made now every day than ever before. I'm from Detroit. I heard the young lady come in, and she was talking about segregation. Detroit is not segregated. Detroit is not segregated. We don't segregate ourselves. They put segregation here and tried it back in the 1970s, and it didn't work. We will find a way to segregate. But what black folks have to understand and have to learn is that you got to pull yourself. You got to stand up for something. You have to sit back. There is more opportunity now than ever was out there, and we cannot see the forest because we're too busy looking at a tree. We're looking at trees of history past. We're looking at trees of doom and gloom. We're looking at history of everything that happened before. My grandfather was a slave, had the brand on his arm, but he never talked about slavery. He talked about how he got over. Now, if he could instill in us the dream of getting over, and when we stop our kids from dreaming, we kill off the whole thing. Everything is killed. It's done. It's a done deal. It's finished. Once you take away a dream, that's why they call it the American dream. And you are in the richest country. Folks are dying and killing themselves to get here. Why? Because they know if they get here to America, this is the best system to play the game and make it than any other system in this world. I don't have to quote nobody else. I can quote myself because I'm a living example. And if you can't be a living example, then really it's no issue to talk about. Instead of us making all these excuses and all this foolishness and delusional lies, rationalities, let's get out here and be about something. I heard somebody say that on the show today. And that's what it's about. Being about it. There's no such thing as you have to fail here in America. You should be successful. Everybody ought to be successful. We just don't want to leave the right things in the hands of the children, and we bring children into the world, which we don't teach, because you got babies trying to teach babies. And when you got babies trying to teach babies, it's never going to be good. Because they haven't been taught.
Now can I speak?
Step on in.
I hear people.
It's up to the host. Not the host. I'm just here.
Now I'm going to speak. We always hear people say, your past, you talk about the past. People can go back to the past and they can live their future and be happy and doing everything they want to do. But they still have the opportunity to speak out with what they see wrong. that has nothing to do with it. And always baby teaching babies. You look around, yours ain't the only one teaching babies. A whole lot of people in this country, babies are teaching babies. But what I don't like is for people to put my community down when their community ain't doing no better than the community that they talking about. Look at your community and tell me different what they're doing, and their children are doing the same thing. So if you're in a cross between two of them and you can see what's going on both sides, don't look at my side and then go tell me what mine need to do and pull up their pants and stuff, and yours are walking out with their pants down too.
Well, maybe you didn't hear what I said.
And I've come out the past. I'm going to talk about my past, and I ain't going to be afraid, shape of it. But I ain't going back to my past. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Maybe you didn't hear what I said. Because if you listen to what I said, and see, this is another problem with black. Most people don't understand how to hear. They don't hear what you're saying. They listen to what they want to hear, and then they start jumping on it because they want to talk. Okay?
That sound like you?
All people, I didn't put no color on it. All people are suffering. We're suffering because you've got a lot of young people that are out here having babies. And I want you to quote me accurate when you quote me. Don't quote me, misquote me. Quote me the right way. Okay? Don't come on with this half-quote stuff because you want to argue. I'm not trying to argue with you.
I'm not arguing with you.
Okay, wait. Here is what I just said. You hear what I said. See, you're so busy trying to talk over me.
I listen very well.
You're not hearing me.
I listen and I can hear.
People have problems everywhere. People have problems everywhere. There are more poor white folks than there are black folks. Okay? So if we're going to put the truth out there, let's put it out there the way it's supposed to be put.
Well, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Per capita, poverty levels are higher amongst white folks than it is black folks?
Yes.
Well, you got to take into consideration one group is 70% of the population and another group is 13% of the population. I agree with what you're saying for the most part. Forget about the past. I mean, you can keep it in mind, but move forward and think positive and condition your mind to attack what's in front of you and stop looking for obstacles and excuses that are going to hinder you. But I'm curious, Les, and maybe this is a minor point, how was your grandfather a slave? I'm sitting here doing the math on my calculator, and I know that you're about 53 years old, because I've heard you say it. How was your grandfather a slave? You met your great-grandfather?
My grandfather died at 102, okay? He came out the last period of slavery.
So what year did you die?
Don't watch this, BZ. I'm going to tell you the story if you'd shut up and listen.
I don't need a story, and I don't need to be told to shut up. I just need to figure out the math.
How was he a slave? He's already 50-something
years. What year did he die?
He had 50-something years beyond me. He was the last generation of slavery. He came up at the tail end, the very tail end. He was just a little bitty boy. He was born into slavery.
Oh.
Now, whether you want to sit back and acknowledge that, that's
no, I'm
you.
Just trying to do the math. I'm not giving
well,
you,
you
a hard time. You
do
might have misspoken and met
you
your great-grandfather.
Do all the math you want to do.
What year did your grandfather die?
My grandfather been dead now for what? Probably 15, 20 years.
What? All right.
Maybe
well,
longer than that. I don't count the days he has been dead. I don't worry about when he died.
No, well,
what am I worry about when the man died?
I'm just trying to move backwards. If he died
well,
in 1990,
well, I don't move backwards. I move forward. That's what's
but,
wrong
no,
now. We're moving
well,
backwards.
I think you're arguing.
We're trying to move backwards when we're supposed to be going forward. See, everybody want to go back. Go back. Go back to Africa. Go back over there. Go on over there now.
Some people went back.
Les, if your grandfather was born 25 years ago,
he was 102 when he died.
All right.
Okay.
And if your grandfather was born 25 years ago, that means he was born.
Not 25
years
ago,
didn't nobody
say that.
If he died in 1989, 102 years before that.
It may have been 25, it may have been more.
I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt of 5 more years, okay?
No, don't give me no benefits or no doubts. I told you, I don't know exactly how long has Benny been gone so long. I don't think about that.
All right, let's give him 30 years. Let's give him
40 years.
All right,
give him 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. What is it going to solve?
How do you not know when your grandfather died?
It does not solve the problem that I face on Monday, June 9th, 2014. It's not solving my problem.
I don't think your grandfather was a slave. The math doesn't matter.
No, I said he was born into slavery. He came up during the last thing, and I don't care what you believe, I seen the brand on his arm. I heard him talk. So don't tell me what you believe, because you weren't there, you're not me, and you don't know me like that.
The math does work, Diesel.
Huh?
The math works. If he's 10 years old, the tail end of slavery, let's say he was 10 years old in 1870. He died at the age of 102. That's 92 years later. At 1870 and 92, and what do you get? 1962. 1962, put another 20 years on that for another generation for the father, right, great, grandfather to father. It's 1982. 1982 to 2014, it's 32 years. Math works.
I know I was trying to do the math. You have speculative
math. Watch this. If he was born in 1875, I'm going to do the math for you.
Right.
If he was born in 1875, and he lived till 1995.
Uh-huh.
How old would he be?
That's 120 years.
That's 120.
That's 120. Now you take off the rest of and go back to 102 when he died, and then you let me know where he was at.
Now that he's dead
in 1875, slavery was over.
And this is what I'm talking about. Hold on, wait. Instead of attacking, and this is what we
I'm not attacking you. I'm trying to do the math. You're the one that's making an argument. Forget about it. In 1875, slavery ended in 1865.
The point I was making out of this
All right.
The point I was making.
Okay, go ahead.
And let me just say, here's the point I was making.
Them Detroit cats are so slick, they'll say anything to you and then try to...
If he didn't worry about slavery and teaching me slavery and telling me about his past...
I ain't never met an honest cat out of Detroit.
Why would I sit back and be focused on what happened during the slavery days when I'm trying to struggle through 2014 and get my business, keep my businesses going right now?
I dig that. I appreciate that.
You see what I'm saying?
I appreciate that.
This is what they all teach. If you talk to your mother don't talk too much about her past. Your father don't talk too much about the past. They talk about what's going on right now, right here, today. Because they don't have time to worry about yesterday's. Yesterday is gone. There's nothing I can do about it. I can't do anything about yesterday. What I did yesterday, I tried not to even remember. Because I got to live for today and tomorrow if I make it to tomorrow.
That's true.
And until we bring our children and get them into the frame of mind, because there are a bunch of them that are lost. They are being lost. People are being lost because they're so busy trying to go back. And they don't even know what it was back then.
Going back to what? How are they going back? If the children are not going back, because they don't know nothing about back. The children
are prospering. And keep telling them about this back stuff.
I'm going to let man know about their history so they won't go back. And
they're
won't
not going to go back,
I mean,
and that's what I'm telling you.
Oh, yes,
teach your children to prosper. Teach them in the most prosperous age that you can be in. Do you realize there are more millionaires that are 20 to 27 years old than there has ever been in the history of the world?
And
people all over the world are becoming millionaires.
Of course, and they're doing business with each other all over
the
world.
Well, they're not in business
with
each other. A lot of them are making it on their own.
They're not having a
lot of
things.
You know what? Whatever you good at, I don't care what it is. And I tell people this because I try to leave y'all on positive notes.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is that you can do, get out there and do it and make money at it. Sit back and stop selling ourselves cheap and actually live somebody holding us down.
Ain't nobody
got no throat stranglehold on my neck.
Not
I go where I want to.
Less you said that wrong. You told me to listen. Not whatever you can do and make money in it, because some things you can do and you can go to jail. Whatever is legal that you can do and make money in it.
He's from Detroit. That don't matter to people from Detroit.
No. I didn't say anything illegal. If I would have wanted to be illegal, I would have said illegal. I didn't put that word in there. I said whatever you can do.
He caught you exactly
whatever you can do.
All right.
You got it right, Maze.
Okay, anyway, let me get out of here, Raymond, because I need to sit back and get ready for my show tonight at 7:30. I'm going to continue at 7:30.
So you can keep talking.
I'm going to get out of here. I'll talk to you later. Eric, be good,
right,
man. Great show.
Right.
Y'all got a great show. Hey, hi to everybody. Like I said, because I just love you. I want to see everybody prosper. That's all I'm saying. Live long and prosper. I'm like Mr. Spock.
I like
that. Yes, you are. You pull the plug and keep on going.
All right, hold on. Let me bring Renee in. Hello, Renee. How you doing, darling?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing
can't
wonderful.
Hear you, Renee.
Thank you for asking.
Boy.
Oh, there you are.
Wait, how you doing? Hi, everybody.
Hi, Renee.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. I just kind of heard the last few minutes, and it was interesting. I do agree with Les, some of the things I heard him saying. But yeah.
Like what?
When he was talking about, you know, a lot of times people are looking back and, I think that we need to know our history to apply it, but I think one of the things we need to be looking at, though, is the future. That's the whole premise of looking at our children and what our children will become and what they will go on to do and what we are leaving them to inherit. What will be our legacy for our children? So,
that's what I want to know, what y'all legacy is going to be.
Maze, will you let somebody talk?
Oh, that's Renee.
Said what now?
What are the legacy is going to be for the people that's behind you?
Behind me?
Well, most
know.
People think y'all legacy is walking around with your hands down and all of that stuff that y'all don't have a head on y'all shoulder, which y'all do, some of you.
Yeah. As far as, like, my generation, that's a good question. I think my generation fell too much into, like, materialism. I think fell too much into, like, the whole hip-hop culture and the false, the false things, you know, the way they represented themselves. And my generation bought into that a lot. So I think... I don't know. So as far as
well, that is your
legacy, I don't know.
How pervasive do you think racism is today?
Very. It's just the fact that what I like to say is nothing changed. Only, you know, it only changes form.
Do you think it is in general? How oppressive?
How what?
Ask Trayvon Martin.
Okay, so that can be part of it. So how oppressive do you think racism is?
It gets no more oppressive than that. When someone can take your life and not be punished for it.
Okay.
You don't even have the status of a citizen.
Okay.
You would get punished if you were to shoot someone's dog.
Right.
You get punished for then you get punished for that. So in some instances, Joe,
mm-hmm.
It's worse than it's ever been.
Right, right.
But
I
how pervasive is it? Overall?
Yeah, I want to get in.
In all totality of it all, though, it's better than it's ever been. If you sit back, and I think you asked a question about what legacy is someone leaving. Now, let me just tell you what I'm leaving. I'm leaving three businesses. I'm leaving a great amount of money.
How much?
I'm not going to tell you how much. That's not important.
Hey,
how much is not important. But what am I leaving? What am I building? I got my granddaughter right now, 7 months old, have already started trying to instill within her business knowledge. And I'm putting her and finding out what is it that she wants to do. What is her talent? What is
you're
she
not,
striving for? Because, see, a baby starts striving at a young age. We tend not to find what it is. Tiger Woods was out there playing golf on Ed Sullivan's show at 4 years old or 2 years old when he first saw Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
He was on Ed Sullivan. And so,
you know what? What does that got to do with anything?
What?
Yeah, you know what?
On Ed Sullivan's show.
But he make a point there because 40 years ago, Zimmerman never would have been brought to trial.
Here's how you make.
He
wasn't listening. And this is what I'm talking about. Living in the
past. I'm sorry.
Here's what I'm talking about when I say stop living in the past, come to the future, deal with today.
And we're dealing with today and the future
okay,
and the
deal with today.
We're dealing with all of it.
And what you need to do, what person need to do, and I'm not going to say you, I'll say people, what we need to do is hang up our hang-ups.
I agree with you, Les. And you know what? You've got people that are so hung up on the past. And you know one of the biggest social platforms where it forces people to reminisce and stay stuck in the past is Facebook. People are in Facebook bringing up old pictures, and you remember when, and their whole head is in the past. And that shit is a waste.
Are those benign pictures, or are they talking about the race relations?
Yeah,
well,
just benign pictures.
Just
benign pictures of people.
A lot of people sit back, but I tell you something. Also, teach your young kids, don't put everything, stop all these selfies. Stop putting all this stuff on Facebook, letting them know everywhere you go.
That's right.
See, stop being knuckleheads. We got to stop being knuckleheads and really buckle down. I heard this morning, I'm going to tell you a real quick story, y'all, and I got to get out of here. This morning, I'm going to say this
to you. You already said that, Les. You already said
this
you were getting out of here.
This morning, no, I'm going to get out of here after this because I got to get the phone charge. This morning, a young lady sat back. I rode to a store, come back from the store, she's still standing at the same gas station. I doubled back. And I got to talking to the young lady. This young lady wants to move from smoking weed to smoking crack. Now, is this what you want our future to be?
Wow.
I'm just telling you a true story. Is this what our young people are sitting back? This young lady distinctly told me, I want to try to smoke some crack.
Ooh.
I want to move from weed to crack. I ain't never smoked it, but I want to get higher than where I am.
But people are suffering. That's why.
And she's suffering. That's hurt. That's pain.
Yeah,
that's because nobody is giving her and showing her love. I said, baby, crack is the worst thing you could ever mess with.
Yeah.
It will mess you up, bring you down, and turn you out.
Wow. But see, you saying that right there is a representation, and that's sad. And multiply that times however many times you want to, but that right there is a representation of a lot of our people today in the community, a lot of people in general.
But
the fact is that even though they know something is so bad, they know something is so bad and deadly or dangerous for them, the fact that they are in so much pain that they still would do it, that they still would consider, you know, doing something like this to themselves. That's not a person who has a healthy situation. It's just not.
Yeah.
But Renee.
Agreed.
But let me ask Les a question.
Come on, Bianchi.
This is your talk.
Hearing that, who should we put, and I'm not saying everybody should, but who should you put more emphasis on? Those black children that's in school carrying a 3.8 GPA but can barely purchase their books, can barely purchase their clothes. Who should we put more emphasis on?
You know
them?
What? I put emphasis on both of them equally. Both of them equally because it's a sad situation when you have a young lady that is out there, okay? It's a sad situation when you see that day. I never thought I would see that day when a person told me they wanted to graduate to crack. And I also put emphasis on that 3.8 student, which I can make a great bet, a great investment on.
Well, Les, I have a question for you.
I'm staying with the 3.8 student. I'll leave it open to you.
I'm staying with him, too. And that's, you know what, Bianchi, that's how I treat him in my own family.
And see, I help everybody.
The ones that, the ones that are progressing and doing well in school, they get checks. And the ones that don't want to listen, that are stupid and want to be rappers and in and out of jail, they don't get anything. They don't even get any conversation after a while because they're too reluctant to even listen to anything. The ones that go that go far, that seem to succeed, or at least in school, they're just as pleasant and open-minded and will listen.
But see, you know what, Beasley, I'm going to let you ask me a question. But a lot of people are asking for help, and we have to understand this. There are a lot of people out here crying for help, and we're not hearing them because we're trying to dismiss them as if they don't exist.
Right.
You didn't hear what I just said. You didn't hear what I just said. You didn't hear what I just said.
Now, can I ask a question? Oh.
Go ahead.
Okay.
You said they wanted to graduate to crack. So you start them in elementary school on the Ritalin, and they go all the way up until they're high school. What are they going to graduate into?
No, that's not what I said. I told you a story about a young lady I met today. Don't read no more into it than what it is. It is what it is. See, we tend to make up stories.
Next time you talk to
and we try to ride on this story we make up. I told you that here was a young lady that I seen standing at the gas station earlier today, this morning. And as I went back and doubled back and talked with her, she said that she wanted to go from weed to crack. That's the story. It's no more to it. It's nothing else to it. She's not on Ritalin. She's not on anything else.
Wait.
So I can't put her on Ritalin. She's not on Ritalin.
That's not what I'm asking you. I'm saying, what do you do when you have kids on Ritalin?
Hold on.
You see a lot of kids on drugs when they go from Ritalin to whatever they got to get after they take them off of the Ritalin. During the school year, where the school put them on it, and so the people stop them from putting them kids on that stuff.
That goes
they won't
on in public school. Get everybody wants support.
You said should they stop putting them on Ritalin or whatever?
I guess they stop.
Is that what you're saying?
I said if they stop putting them on Ritalin, why they in grade
school? Well, why do you let them put them on Ritalin?
I don't let nobody put them on. In my family, nobody put nobody on it.
May, you don't welcome everybody to your family now.
I'm going to explain something to you. They wanted to put my nephew on Ritalin because they said he was too quiet. My sister called the school, and I told them they weren't putting him on nothing. And as
you know
today, he's got his own business, and he's doing his own thing, and we laughed about it.
See, and this is another thing that we have to do. Stop being at war with each other. We at war with each other. But no reason.
All right. Woo, boy, y'all, your boy, I tell you. And you know what? I have to agree. Eventually,
but you know what,
I'm talking right now, Bianchi. You know what I know? Eventually, we going to stop, dang it, arguing and fighting each other, and maybe we'll come up with a solution sometime in the near future. Now, we have 2 minutes left in the show before we go into overtime. I want to, if you're in the chat room, there's a link that's been put there, and I suggest that you go ahead and click on that if you want to remain in the chat room without being kicked out, okay? But, man, this is a hot one here. Let me bring Ebony in, then I'll let my co-host get his words in. All right. Welcome, Ebony. How are you?
Hi, guys. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Ebony.
Oh, good to hear the passion tonight. Hey. I'm sure some people haven't been having much this weekend. Getting very passionate there. Okay. So I hear what everybody says, and I actually think there's been some really valid conversation tonight. I've been listening. I wanted to say that I was listening to a show this morning on Google Hangout, and a lady called Valerie Love, who is going to join one of my shows in a few weeks' time. But she was talking about you know, the responsibility of adults to kind of get out their own way. And that sometimes, you know, we spend so much time looking out at what other people are doing. And we tend not to focus on ourselves and how we can improve who we are. Because, you know, you know, sometimes you're a bit of a beacon yourself to other people around you. And sometimes it's not just about everything that's going on in the world around you. It's about taking some responsibility to be the change you want to see for yourself. And so, you know, I really learned a lot from what she was saying, but it was interesting. She gave this scenario about children, young children. And do you notice that sometimes children will not come to certain people? Doesn't matter what you do, they won't entertain you. And she was saying, you know, a child under 7 is the most honest being on the planet, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. they never lie and they see you for who you are. And sometimes the reason why they don't come to people, the reason why they wouldn't play with you or they won't have anything to do with you is because they can see you. And I guess that tells us something about, you know, it's a little bit of, tells us something about some of the stuff that's going on around us, that when we are talking about people that we never engage with, we never really have anything much to do with, we never really take the time to learn about, it's very easy to be judgmental and to have them in a box of some sort. But I think if you look through the reflection of yourself and what you're bringing to the world and what you're doing and whether that is shining something out there in the world and making something of a difference, then that's a bit of a leveler for those people who think that they're somewhere where they're almost looking down on everybody else who's doing wrong. But that's just what I learned today, and I just wanted to share that sometimes, you know, we need to look more inside at ourselves and be the change we want to see outside of ourselves.
All right. Hold on. Thank you, Ebony. Okay. Appreciate that. Go ahead, Cloud Nation.
I know. I piggyback off of what Ebony was saying. We were talking about consciousness and raising our level of consciousness. I think everything goes back to that. It was interesting. I talked about Tom Burrell earlier, the co-founder of Burrell Communications, the marketing and advertising firm. And one of the things that he pointed out in his book, Brainwashed, is that that the power of propaganda, positive and negative, and the use of words and images to influence, change, and even transform people's lives. He talked about how powerful that was. And he also helped to put into perspective the fact that the black community was indoctrinated with these ideas, you know, that stems way back historically, that were designed to enable certain activity. You know, it was designed to create a point where we lessened taking care of ourselves, where we went into this mindset of needing help and handouts. From Mr. Charlie, as he put it, in the form of government programs, public assistance, food stamps, and gifts that the government bestowed, and that he called it, he quoted what the psychologists have called it, which is a thing called learned helplessness. He talked about how deep-seated race-based inferiority complex, or what was we heard before is post-slave syndrome, something like that. So I say all that to say consciousness seems to be the key in our discussion oftentimes in how we go about not only raising our own personal level of consciousness, but as Ebony was saying, that being examples to others and using the influence that we may have, be it in our communities, our households, various social settings, using that influence to create the type of change that we desire. And I'm going to step back on that. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah.
All right.
I agree.
All right. Let's see. Renee, I think you had something you wanted to add.
Yeah, to what they were saying earlier, Bless, and I think these people were talking about, and someone else, maybe Pianchi, we're talking about, you know, the ones who are doing right, the ones who are doing well in school, and then the ones who are not doing that and are doing different things, and kind of, you know, cutting them off in a sense. See, that example that Les gave is so important because even though it may seem like somebody is not listening, they're going in and out of jail or whatever, you know, it is that they do, sometimes they do need that word. Sometimes they do need to hear from somebody. And I think that lady, the young lady told Les that because she wanted someone to stop her. She wanted someone to tell her something positive about herself or and to tell her, don't do that or whatever, because them telling her not to do that will be them showing her love because they want to prevent her from doing that. And if she's on the street or whatever she's doing, then she likely knows that people will encourage you. People in that environment will encourage you to do bad. They will encourage you to do worse because they want you to be where they are or be lower than where they are. So it makes them feel better. So it's people in that environment who will probably encourage her to do it. They probably will get the crack for her to help her become an addict or whatever. So the fact that she even spoke and said that to Les, it was like screaming, somebody please stop me. Somebody please let me know that you care about me. And you don't want me to do that to myself. So you have to, you know, I know that you want to cut them off. You want to reward or show, you know, some love or whatever to the students who are doing well, who are succeeding, or the people who are doing the right thing in life. But sometimes if you just give a little bit to somebody who does not have that, or you give them a different perspective on how to look at something, that in itself can be life-changing. So that's why I would say don't necessarily cut them off in the sense of not talking to them and not still giving them information.
All right. I agree, Renee. I agree.
I agree also. Just, I mean, you can't say no more than that. But let me bring Stanley in. He's been waiting. So let me get Stanley on the air. Welcome, hello. Stanley.
Great show. I agree with Ebony. It was so good to hear her say that. It was very good.
Hi, Stanley. I love you too.
Yes. I think a lot of people, when it comes to trying to influence another bad a person or trying to change their mind, a lot of people forget to influence somebody, you need to know what already influences them. A lot of people try to influence other people by doing the same thing that they've been brought up, but they never ask themselves the question of saying, you know what, if I want to influence that person, I have to find out what she sees through her world. You have to go through the world of the person first. That's the first step you have to do. You have to understand her world. You have to understand what she went through to make her realize whatever error and things like that. Because if you're trying to make her change on anything through your worldview, it won't work for a lot of people, except the people that have the same worldview as you. And a lot of people don't do that. A lot of people don't spend the time of asking the proper question. A lot of people label people and judge them and say, you are this. No, you're not. When you label somebody, that means you're cutting them off of everything that you believe on the person. Anybody could become great if you believe in him and if you believe in himself. I've saw many people who done stupid things when they were young, but when they later in life became CEOs or became great person because one person believed them when everybody was ready to drop them. And I'm not impressed when somebody has a straight-A student, has a straight-A class, because that doesn't mean that you're more intelligent than another person. You're just following the book. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are more street smart than book smart. And you must know the saying. There's a lot of students who used to be C students, and their A students are working for them. That's the one thing that a lot of people forget. So grade doesn't mean that you're going to succeed in this world. That depends. If you use your diploma and everything, do something about it. That's different. But if you're working for something, having a job, that doesn't impress me at all.
And we need to stop focusing on just great, great, great. We need to focus on the kids if we want to bring them up, to bring them character, to bring them strength, to bring them confidence, to bring them the thing of, like Ebony said, responsibility. Responsibility is about looking at yourself and everything and being responsible for your life. Stop acting like a victim. Being somebody who has objective, who's able to see, you know what, if somebody's telling me something, stop assuming things. So many people assume things of other people. You don't even ask the question or say, that person must think this. No, that doesn't mean that person think this. Go see that person, whatever person you have a problem with, and ask her the question. Did you mean this? Did you see this? And too many people talk and don't even listen to the other person. Don't even give the respect to the other person of listening to them, really listening to them, and really feel heard. That's when somebody's going to open themselves to them, to you. And a lot of people need to know that lesson.
Sammy.
Hey, Mr. Talk. Hey, Mr.
Good
Talk.
Good words of wisdom, Stan.
Go, Stanley. Go,
really?
Stanley.
Yeah, that was pretty good, and I agree. I think I definitely agree. I think that influence is it can be used in a variety of different ways. I think some of the most influential people are typically the people you spend the most time with, especially in the earliest development stages of a child's life or a person's life. Whether it's your parents, your teachers, you know, coaches, you know, just a variety of different social settings that we occupy. And, you know, like you said, if you tap into that influence, and I think it all has a lot to do with who we are, you know, how we, our core beliefs, our value system, and, mm-hmm. and who we are innately determines a lot of how we interact with other people, you know, when it comes to helping other people out, because, you know, everyone hasn't quite developed the same level of empathy and the same level of compassion and the same level of, you know, love for other people. So I think that's where, you know, there's always going to be a level of separation, because it always goes back to your heart. And your consciousness, your level of consciousness, and wherever you are in those two places, is ultimately it will determine, you know, how you use that influence and how you determine how to use those how you occupy those relationships in those social settings.
Well, getting back to the kids, the only real influence of kids should be the parents. Any other types of influence, like peer pressure, propaganda by the media, TV, etc., or teachers, should be become a moot point when influenced by the parents. The parents should be the only true influence over a kid. Hopefully, that
right
influence
thinking
should be good.
Parents.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily, Joe.
I'm not saying it is.
Not
I'm
necessarily.
It be, because the parents have that child from the 2 seconds a baby was born up until the baby dies. Now, if they can train a dog, you can certainly condition your child to be a responsible, happy, safe kid, listen to you, and if the parents are good parents, and most parents aren't, but if they're good parents, they can influence that kid to grow up, to be to feel safe, have a good self-esteem, and to succeed at whatever the kid wants to.
Regardless, are you saying the grandparents should be an influence?
Regardless, grandparents, forget
and
the
uncles and aunts and all of those people shouldn't be an influence?
And forget it. Regardless of the grandparents, regardless of the peer pressure, regardless of TV, the parents have that responsibility, and they should use it properly. If they don't, then look what happens.
Well, I think Joe, you're right and you're wrong. Parents have a really, really big influence on our lives, but, you know, environment has sometimes a bigger influence. You know, the environment you're brought up in and the people around you can be really, really influential on your life and shape your life, more so than even the influence of your parents. I think conditioning is an interesting thing, because conditioning can be good, and, you know, and the training like a dog, everybody says, yeah, but the conditioning often messes people up in a bigger way, and a lot of us spend our adulthood or pre-adulthood rebelling against conditioning. And, you know, you rebel against it in different ways. Some people, you know, go out and steal and do shit and do drugs and whatever. But a lot of it is a rebellion against conditioning. And we have to look sometimes at the way that we, you know, we put conditioning on a pedestal, like, oh, it's good. As the more training, the more disciplined you are, the more of a, you know, the more you are like a good dog that sits down when you're told and get up when you're told, the better person you are, because that really doesn't necessarily work. In fact, the people that tend to rebel most tend to be the most well-adjusted people, I think, in our society. So you've got to be careful when you're saying we want our children to be so conditioned that they never ever speak
okay,
out against
myself,
stuff.
So
you've
got to
be careful.
Okay, so
I'm not misunderstanding.
No,
I'm
just
conditioning is good and bad.
I'm not saying that. Here's what I'm going to repeat.
Okay.
I understand that the conditioning overrules the conditioning, the influence of the parents. That's a fact. That's a problem. I said should. I said nothing should, because the parents should use their responsibility to influence their child so that anything that happens to the child, they will not be influenced by the other members, the other elements, rather, of their particular environment, so that when the child feels safe enough or is confused by the TV or by the media or by the kids in school, they can come home to mommy and daddy, and mommy and daddy can now use their influence on the child so that the child can grow up to be a safe, secure child with great self-esteem. I'm not denying the other influences. The other influences are bad influences. I'm just saying
it depends on the way that the parents were conditioned. It depends on the way that the were brought up.
And sometimes
there are a lot of parents that weren't parented well and were messed up themselves and then had kids and messed those kids
up.
Right?
And so I did say if the parents were good parents.
We have a messed up world where a lot of people need healing, okay?
Yes.
They need support to understand where they've gone, why they think what they do, why they do what they do, so that they can start to socially correct themselves in adulthood. That happens to all of us, and we're not bad people because, you know, we've got this issue, but parents mess up, and it goes back and back.
I agree with
so
you.
So what I'm saying is, that we need to look at it as a society. You know, look at our values. What are good values? What are good norms? What works? What doesn't?
There you go.
You have to look at the influence of religion as well. Religion can be very destructive for young people.
Not potentially,
you know?
It is.
It can, yeah. It, you know, so depend on how it's used. I'm going to say depend on how it's used. I'm not going to say it's bad because I was brought up that way. But it can be good and it can be bad.
Yeah.
I'm just so great. Look at me.
Yeah,
but, you know, there you go. So I'm just saying, you know, you've got to look at it. Everything needs to be looked at and, you know, and questioned sometimes.
I think she's finished, Andy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe.
That takes to do with waiting, but there you go.
Did you hear me?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Yonke.
I thought that Eric had me muted. But, no, I was going to get back to that one point. If I had the difference, you know, we had a case here in St. Louis where at the University of Missouri, I might have told you this, Joe, we had some African-American students that was holding down a 3.8, 3.9 GPA in college, but they were sleeping at the airport and in their cars.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, some people got together to alleviate their problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I made the statement, I still stick by it. If I had opportunity to help them over someone trying to get them off a crack, I'm choosing them.
Well, right. And
every time.
Has...
Because, and another thing, you got these social programs that's ran by the government where you have some soothsayers in the community that's always trying to get grants to work on those type of conditions if they, and they never do in.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, sometimes I think they sponsor. But, no, I'm helping the those that are doing the hard work, keeping their nose to the quote-unquote grinding wheel and helping them to go on to greater aspirations.
And everybody has
the
right
to choose
their particular agenda. There are people who choose Peter or PETA, and there are people who choose lions, and there are people who choose spiders, and there are people who choose good students, and there are people who choose like less. he will go for the person who's truly downtrodden. It's
yeah.
everybody's right to choose
yeah,
whatever
but
they
also,
want. But all
you've
people,
got to look at, Joe, sorry to cut you, but you need to look at those people that you're helping. Okay, you're going to help the student who's a good person. He's going to walk out in the street and a crack dealer might kill him. Or a crack, do you know what I mean? You're going to help one group.
How come you interrupt
group
me on this show? And you also interrupt me on your show when
I'm just
so
saying.
I didn't hear what you. I didn't hear the beginning of you. What you said, Ebony? She cut in on you.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was just trying to say because it's a point about Pianki and what you said. I'm sorry, Joe, but I'm saying the point. I didn't want to lose the point that Pianki said. Pianki, you said you would help one group as opposed to a next group. There's a problem with that. Both groups operate in the same society.
Can I interrupt
often
you now?
In the same community. You can in a minute. Both.
Oh,
often
I can in a
same
minute.
Yeah, oh, shut up. Both in the same community. Often in the same community. Right? Let me finish.
I'll let you finish. Oh, talk about women's privilege.
Will you stop whinging? Okay, so what I'm saying, often they're in the same community, right? So suppose your good student meets up on the crack dealer, okay, that you didn't help. How do you think the good student is going to survive in a community where the crack dealers
I got a real quick answer for you.
How?
I got a real concealed carry. Stand your ground.
Next. All right. You
sound like those people that want to kill people.
You're going to kill them all?
Protect yourself. Stop already.
Well, who says something about killing somebody, but you will protect yourself.
Don't listen to her. You haven't gone to her show.
You just stand your ground.
Don't listen to her.
What do you want to say, Joel?
God.
Come on, stop being a girl. What would you like to say?
Stop being a girl.
What would you like to say?
You're interrupting me. What is it with you?
I'm giving you the floor. What would you like to say?
Thank you. Here's the thing. Everybody has their choice. Whatever the choice is, it's right. If they're helping somebody, they're helping somebody. What is this with this competition about? Well, I got to help the 3.8. No, I got to help the one with the crack. No, what happens if the person who's sleeping in the car meets the person with the crack? Help whoever needs the help.
Right.
You're absolutely right, Joe. But, you know, the majority of the time, and I can say, well, you have more conversations seemingly on the negatives of society and what they need rather than those who are progressing in society, actually working hard and doing the right thing, even though they're about on the verge of falling short themselves.
Do we really have people doing stuff?
No, I don't think that's true.
Look at that society.
I don't agree with that because I think there are people who are progressing. But the truth is we have a society where we have so many different types of people already existing.
So, Ebony, now, see, you live in the UK,
and you stay in the UK,
no, and we stay here in America.
And you have those in society who want to brag about.
It's the same in the UK.
No, it's not. It's not the same.
It is.
You got two different Europeans.
Listen, all I'm saying is that crack dealers in my community, they're crack dealers. In my community, they're good, aspiring young people. In my community, there are business people. There are working people. There are all sorts of people in a society and community. They're all there. What I'm saying is your point originally, Joe, which I gave you the floor for, was a good point. Help everybody wherever they need to be helped. Because if you start picking particular people that you want to focus on and ignore the others, trust me,
I'm going to make a note of today's date and time where you agreed with me. The first time in 2 freaking years.
Oh, wow. You must have
we haven't thought about agreement.
You must have said something.
She and I never agreed. Jesus.
It's once in a lifetime.
Yeah.
Somebody will agree with you.
There's always a first, Maze. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Well, like a first, Maze. Women.
It won't happen again.
I know. Please.
But the problem is when you're having a conversation, people want to, they boast about what they have. It's not about what people have. It's about what people are doing, and that's where you get the point at, is what you're going to leave your legacy. What is your legacy from the people that was behind you that you're going to leave? Are you going to leave them with something great, or are you going to leave them with something that's burdening the whole country?
That kind of reminds me of...
The point I wanted to make, people go through all sorts of phases. If you look at Maya Angelou, she was a stripper at one time. She was doing all sorts of stuff.
Yes, everything.
And she became one of the greatest women in the world ever. Now, come on. She went through her phases. If someone did not allow her to make that growth
in her person, and was only focused on her when she was a good poet and she was the greatest person in the world to everybody, then, you know, she would not have that journey. You have to allow people to sometimes have the journey and support them at all levels on that journey. Just don't focus on one aspect of the journey, which is education.
Which is what I was saying. Everybody has their particular choice of who to help.
Yeah, and I
know. I know. Write it down, Ebony. You agree.
No, you write it down so you can remember.
Oh, I am remembering. Yeah. Oh, I'm gonna remember when I can understand anything you say, mate.
Oh, you know.
See, but where the problem comes in, Joe, you got the socialists that want
to
increase the tax of the wealth of those who have made it,
and
they want to use the social. They want to tax you in order to come up with some programs in order to take care of those who.
Well, don't say that in front of me.
Well, haven't they always
taxed
people with programs?
Love
nothing new. They're always going to tax people. They're always going to have to pay taxes. Does everybody want to agree to pay them? No.
Oh, boy, Miz. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Here's my question to people, okay? How pervasive is racism today in keeping the average black person down?
Okay, everybody's muted. Because I muted them, because it is now 4:25 my time, and you know, we got to get up out of here. Got to get up out of here. So of course I'm gonna let y'all go ahead and get your last words in, and we gonna have some fun with this, I'm sure. All right, well, we're gonna start with Stanley. Let Stanley get his last words in since he was late getting to the show. All right, Stanley, you up? What's your last word, sir? Stanley, are you there? Going once. Stanley, are you there? Going twice. All right. Stanley is off and running somewhere. All right. Let's see. Ebony, you're up, darling.
Okay. Good show. Good show. Great show. My final words are that, you know, I think, I hate to say Joe was right. For once in his life, he was right. But, yes, he was right. That, you know, I think everybody in our society is valuable. Nobody has less value than somebody else. And, you know, I see this in the Caribbean, where we have those who have and those who don't have. And there's such a massive gap between those who have and those who don't. And the people who have in the Caribbean struggle to keep what they have, because those who don't have are finding ways to take it away or to kill them or to make them feel, you know, under pressure in their homes, because you cannot have such a big gap between people in a community and expect that everybody will survive and live with where they are. So it makes sense to support people to move up, to, you know, improve their life situation, to get out the ghetto into a better way of life. It's important to support everybody wherever they are. And those are my final words.
All righty. Thank you, ma'am. And we do appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. Pianki, you up?
Well, I don't believe in that philosophy myself. Anything that's designed for everything usually don't work out too well. Matter of fact, it sure don't work out that way in business. In this country, they got safety nets, and I think people should use them when they can. But I'm still a strong proponent of trying to inspire blacks and African Americans to pursue greater things than what we're doing, go for better economic controls, higher education in those professions that where employment trends and industrial trends for the future show they're going to be in great need and demand. It needs to be mass education in those directions rather than hit and miss like we also see. Matter of fact, that would even have relationships, and people would stop getting married on the size of a booty and the size of a breast and start getting married on tangible things like what people bring to the table.
All right, sir. All right. Thank you for that, and I appreciate it. All right, let's go with Miss Mays. You're up.
Hello. Well, people that don't understand what I said, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
In other words, if they don't understand what I said, why are they talking to me? enough for you to understand what I see. It's for you to listen to what I see. Because if you don't listen, you don't hear. And sometimes people just be talking and not saying anything, and they want you to listen to them, but they're not saying nothing. And there's nothing wrong with who, what, when, and where. That's why I always ask questions. With that, okay. Have a good day.
All right, you too. You have fun. I tell you. Oh, boy, I need to have a dictionary and some mind control out when I'm talking to Maze, boy. I tell you. Ooh, I'm going to start hiring a psychiatrist. So when she get to talking, somebody be here to explain it. All right, Joe, you up, sir.
Okay. So my question still remains is how pervasive is racism in today's society? Okay. In other words, there are two groups of thought. One group says blacks can get ahead. The other group says no matter what, blacks can't get ahead now. We all know, and excuse me for not having any melanin, is that blacks aren't doing as well as they would like, right? The businesses run by blacks overall produce the least amount of sales than any other businesses, any other groups in America, and that's including women and Hispanics. Blacks aren't doing that well in school. Some people might say with a standardized test or biased. So I want to know, are they biased? Okay. Blacks aren't doing that well running up the corporate ladder. So my question is racism that pervasive so that it does prevent blacks who are trying to get ahead from getting ahead? Or is it because those who are not getting ahead are just not able to? And racism doesn't really have that much of a, of a part in it. So that's my question for the next show, because I'm sure we're going to have the discussion again. And Ebony, for once, I was correct. Okay, so that's all I got to say.
All right, Joe, appreciate it. Appreciate it. Okay. And last but not least, Miss Renee. Renee, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay. yeah, I'm here. I wanted to answer Joe's question about how pervasive is racism. It's extremely pervasive, all the way completely. You know, he talked about the education system and different things. It is. It's across the board, and I know some people don't agree with me on that or they don't like to hear me say that. But the reality is, and this is what I try to get people to understand, I'm not saying that to just come from a perspective of, oh, it's black against white and this, that, and the other. I'm not coming from that standpoint. I'm coming from a standpoint of just really being realistic about things. You cannot have equality and all these kind of things when you are in a country that the infrastructure itself was based upon the enslavement of people, okay? Now, we can say that that happened way back when. However, those things are not solved within a generation or two or three or four or eight, okay? Because then, like I said, that original element is there. Until you officially deal with it, until you officially repair it, it continues on. And all that happens is it changes and shifts from one form to another. And that's all that's happening right now. I understand that he is not, you know, black or African-American or what have you, so his perspective on this is going to be very different because he's not experiencing it the way that we do every day of our lives. So when he thinks, oh, this race thing, y'all bringing it race, well, you know what? It does play a role. Okay, it is something in the United States of America that goes on deep, and it runs deeper than what everybody else knows. I do not have anything against any other race of people. I do not hate them or anything. I just love my community. I love my black community. That does not mean it's hatred for anyone else. And my thing is we have assimilated so far that we are forgetting, number one, about our children. We are forgetting any traces or pieces of our heritage. We don't even hold any real things from our original culture.
even as slaves. And that in itself is sad, because if you don't know from whence you came, you cannot carry any of that strength or that heritage with you, then who are you? Because we are not what America is trying to force us to be. So that's just all I had to say, and thanks, Mr. Talk.
All right. Thank you, Renee. Some very strong comments there, and we do appreciate it. And we see you tomorrow. All right. Last but not least, my co-host, Mr. Akeem, a.k.a. Cloud Nation Radio. You're up.
Oh, man. Another intense show. A lot of ideas being shared. Good to talk with a lot of people again. It was good to hear everybody's ideas and to experience and hear the passion in everybody's voices and the passion behind their ideas. And I wish everybody a great and safe remainder of the day. And can't wait to talk with everybody again tomorrow.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. And we'll see you tomorrow. All right. Boy, I tell you, my co-host, boy, he be putting it down. He has some information, doesn't he? Hey, we can't beat that. All right. Cloud, Antoinette says, give me the links that she gave you earlier today, or gave you today, all right? So just send it to ericletstalk@gmail.com. All right, y'all. Well, man, I tell you, I don't know. I tell you, it's so much information that came out today. It's so much passionate. You know, it's good to have dialogue on such a topic. You know, a lot of individuals feel as though, you know, sometimes you don't need to talk about this because it becomes old and monotonous. But I disagree. I think these are the type of conversations that are necessary. You know, some individuals may, you know, view them as monotonous or something that's overused or overspoken about. But I look at it like this. You know, the more we discuss it, the better off we'll be. You know what I mean? I mean, there is just a usage for it. Now, a lot of individuals, you know, say, well, you know, blacks this and blacks that. But let's be honest and totally truthful about this thing. Okay, number one, let me look at my notes, because I've been taking notes, man. You know, we don't support our own businesses. You know, that's a lot of reason why the majority of our businesses never succeed, because we don't support them. You know, and in a lot of instances, that has nothing to do with racism at all. We just don't support our own. This is nothing new. It has been something going on for a long time. You know, but it is something that we still work on, and we will get better at it eventually. We just have to make each other aware. But also, as we become aware, as we become more aware, we have to pass this information on. We can't just collect the information and just sit on it. That's doing no one any good. No one. You know, a lot of people want to make it a black and white thing. But eventually, we're going to have to look at it as a humanity thing. We are humanity. We're all humans. Yes, I know there's always someone who wants to be on the top dog or what have you. That's fine. That's fine. But as long as we hold that top dog to the same level and expectations that we all do, we'll be all right. You know, But we must be able to talk about the real issues. And I agree, Renee. You know, it is being realistic. I think it makes some non-blacks feel better and more comfortable to not talk about real racial issues. And I agree with that. And that's part of the issue also. No one wants to talk about it because then you're offending a certain group of people you're offending a certain group of people, which will rock the boat a little bit, and we can't have that because then we won't survive because we can use that as another excuse as to why we can't get ahead. Stop blaming everything on somebody else and take time to look in that mirror and realize, okay, we bear some of the blame also. We do. All right? Well, that's going to do it for us, man. I know. Woo! But conversation chat room still going on. But it's all good. It's all good. All right? So tomorrow, man, I'm telling you, Cloud hit me up already, so we're going to do something on economics. And, we're going to do something on economics. I need him to send me an email so we can get the title right. But it's going to be based on economics and how we can better ourselves in our community economically. All right? So we're going to be doing that tomorrow. I want to thank everybody who participated, who's still around, actually. You know, it's been a while since we've been this late. Thank y'all for joining us today in the chat room and on the switchboards. I appreciate it. All right. So remember to keep smiling, show appreciation, forgive with an open heart. And remember, you must forgive yourself before you can forgive anyone else. And the biggest and best thing I always say, learn to laugh at yourself. If you can laugh at yourself, everything else is gravy. All right? All right. So, tomorrow at 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, 1 Mountain Time. I see y'all tomorrow. This has been Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio for me and my co-host, Akeem. Y'all have a good one, and we'll see y'all tomorrow up here.
Bye-bye.